The sermon title is The Master of Details. And God is the master of details. Now, Pastor Leo himself, I can be very visionary of where I think that we need to go or what we need to do. And I can tell you what that is going to look like. But I struggle with the details or the steps in between how to get there. Visionary, but I need detail of people around me. And you know, you need both. You really need both. People are either more visionary or they're more detail-oriented. The strength of our ministry, I can say to Carol, this is where I need to go. And she can help fill in the blanks of the details of where what I need to do to be able to accomplish that. She is very detail-oriented, even with her teaching and the different things that she does. And it's really, truly a blessing to our ministry because she is more detail-oriented than I am. I'm the one that is visionary. So, and I know that she is very detail-oriented because she's always telling me what to do, okay? And I've teased her over the years how many times I said, you are not my mother. You are not my mother. And she always comes back, but your mother knew you needed one. And that's what I get back from her. But it's very true that she is more detail-oriented than I am. But we serve a God that is not only who He says that He is, but He will do what He says that He will do. The God we serve is the master of details. And do you realize that God is the master of details in your life? So turn with me to begin with Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. So Matthew 10 and verse 29. We don't have the overhead, so you just have to listen if you don't have your Bible with you today. But this is what it says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many, many sparrows. There is not one thing in your life. There is not one thing in this church, and there is not one thing in this school that God is not aware of. And He will use it in our lives for your benefit and for His glory. So the things that He's doing in your life, the things that are coming into your grasp, are things that God is going to use in your life to grow you in your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we say that God's number one goal in your life is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the first question is, have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you need to do that. Because let me tell you, the place that's after this, you may think this place is ugly. In this world that we live in today, it's going to get much uglier where you're going to go if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is His first goal in your life. The second goal is to transform you into the very image of Jesus. And that work, His Word says, that work that He has started in your life, He will finish in your life. It's called the work of sanctification. It's ongoing that He's doing that in our life. And sometimes in our life, He needs to knock the rough edges off. And sometimes the growing and maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ can be a very painful process. But I want you to know, and I want you to know this beyond anything else that I'm going to share today, when you leave this place, God knows right where you're at. He knows right where you're going through. He knows the very detail of your life because He does not let a sparrow fall to the ground without knowing what's going on in the world. You must receive it and believe it and stand on it through all the things that you have in your life to know that God has got this. He has got you. And He is working on your behalf. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to give you a comparison here. So 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. In chapter 11 verse 24. And we just list all the things, many of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 24. And verse 24 says this. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. All those things he's going through, what does he start to end with? I give my God and all of the praise, all the glory and honor that today for everything. Man, how can you do that? Let's stop there. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's do a comparison. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Philippians 4 and verse 4, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, how many times would you have to be beat before you'd stop rejoicing? How many times would you have to be shipwrecked before you stopped rejoicing? But the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through the Christ Jesus. Now, what is he saying here? That no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through, you need to praise God because that peace is available for you. That peace is available to you. I know that for a fact because it was available to me. In this comparison, how can I go from beaten from rods, stuck in the ocean, shipwrecked, to go to where I am praising God for everything that He is, that everything that I am going through in life? Because I can say that God has got this. He knows every detail about what I'm experiencing and what I'm going through, and He is going to make this right. Not necessarily in my timing, but He's going to make it right. We go through all this and still say, focus on the positive is how He ends. Give God the glory. How can Paul and how can you go through the ugly things of life but still give God the glory? Because God knew, and you can know also, that God is the master of the details. God knows right where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He will use it for your benefit and His glory, as it says in Romans chapter 8, 28, that all things work together for good, bad and good. Now listen to me. It's not just important that you can look back on the events in your life and see it. Because I know that there's many people that would say that. Well, I've looked through all the things that I've gone through in my life, and I know that God had His hand on my life through all those things today, but I didn't necessarily see it then. We had a council meeting here a couple of nights ago, or a few nights ago, and Harold was talking to Harold Marshall, and he was telling us about all the things that he had experienced in life that could have cost him his life, but it didn't cost him his life, and he was giving God the glory because he said God had a purpose for it. God had a plan for me, or I still wouldn't be here. All the times that he could have lost his life, but didn't. Many of you can say the same things. But it's not only important that we look back and say it, but that I look today and understand it, that I know today that He's got this. That's when you say, I don't know why, I don't understand, but one thing I know, God's got this and God's got me. And nothing is going to take me out of the palm of His hand. I belong to Him. And for this, I will praise God and give God all the glory forever and ever. And you think about this and you think, my gosh, Pastor Leo, you've gone off the rails today, because what has this got to do with Christmas? And I'm telling you, this has got everything to do with Christmas. Let me show you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. This is an interesting teaching. And we won't go into it as deep as maybe that I would like to because of time, but it will just bless you to know how involved that God was involved in making this miracle of this birth come about, and how He's just as involved in your life today, even when you don't see it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, it's interesting because when you go home today, and if you would happen to watch a movie, if you've ever seen that, that you watch a movie and at the end they start rolling the credits. Well, the director, and this is this person, and this is this actor, and this is this actor, and this is all these people that were involved. This is like it's in reverse. The Lord is showing you the credits before He tells you the story. So it's really amazing how He does this. So let me read that again. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew brings out the record of genealogy through Joseph to give an account of Jesus' life and ministry. Why in the world would you start with genealogy? Because for Jesus to be the Christ, the long-awaited one, he must be a descendant of David and the chosen seed of Abraham. Look at verse 17, same chapter, verse 17. So all the generations of Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ, the Messiah, are 14 generations. Jesus, as you well know, that He was the firstborn adopted son of Joseph. He was the legal heir to Solomon's royal line. But this is where we run into a problem. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah and chapter 22. In Jeremiah chapter 22, in verse 24... Jeremiah 22 and verse 24, and look at what it says. As I live, says the Lord, through Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet on my right hand, yet I would pluck it off. Now, Coniah was also said his name was Jeconiah. So hang with me here a second. And I will give into the hand of those who seek your life, and into the hand of those who face you fear, the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of the Chaldeans. So I will cast you out, and your mother who bore you, into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they desire to return, they shall not return. In this man, Jeconiah, a despised and broken idol, a vessel which is no pleasure, why are they cast out, he and his descendants, and cast into land which they do not know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now listen to this. We're talking about Jeconiah, and this is a son of Solomon. And this is what he says. This is a curse on them from the Lord. He says, thus says the Lord, write this man's down as childless. A man who shall not prosper in this day, his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. A curse was placed on his life and his descendants. So through Joseph, Jesus had all the legal rights to the throne, but he couldn't sit on the throne. As an adopted son, he had all the legal rights, of David, but he couldn't sit on the throne. We've got a real problem. But in steps Mary. Hallelujah. Jesus is the biological son, which you know that, of Mary. And that makes him a son of Abraham and a son of David. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, look what it says. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness, and it could not be through Joseph, because that family line was cursed. But he said it's going to happen through the lineage of David. He said, a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, and his name is Jesus. So despite the end of Solomon's royal line, God was able to remain just. He was punishing the sin of Judah's kings, but at the same time keeping his promise to Abraham, David, and Solomon through Mary, her genealogy. And I'll look at that very quickly with you today. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3, because in Luke is where you get Mary's genealogy. And I'm just going to make a reference to it, but I wanted to point that out to you if you want to study it more on your own. It's very, very interesting. Now, when you go to Luke chapter 3 and you look at verse 31, this is what verse 31 says. If you look at verse 23, it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Now, skip over to verse 31. In verse 31, it says this, the son of Malaya, the son of Menon, the son of Mathatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David. What does that all mean? Solomon's lines were cursed because of his son, Jeconiah. The right that it was to the throne of David was through his son, Nathan. Mary was of the genealogy and the lineage of Nathan. It's really interesting to look at, even though it may not mean a lot to you. But in this world that we live in that has all the questions, do you realize how many Jewish scholars sat down and went from end to end of this to sort this out, to think about this, to try to persuade the world that the Christ, the Lord Jesus, was not the Messiah, and they're still waiting on one today. There are so many people that say they take this Bible and they say over the years there's been so many people that's been involved in it. There's been so many people that have had said things that this has been watered down. This is a watered down version probably of what they had. And I'm telling you this right here today, and I will stand before God and say it, if you don't believe all the Word of God, you don't believe any of it. And let me tell you something else. If you don't believe in the doctrines of the Bible, then you're believing in your own doctrine. And when you come to your own doctrine, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be salvation by works and will not be salvation by grace. And the only way you can be saved today is through Jesus Christ. By His grace. I've had many people tell me that over the years. Well, how do you know that the Bible is real? Well, how do you know that it's not real? Well, I think there's been so many people that has written different things that they've put that in the Bible. And I tell them that that's a lie from the pits of hell. That the Bible is pure. That you yourself are going by your own doctrine rather than by the doctrine of the Word. You've got to choose a doctrine to go by. Are you going to go by the doctrines of the United States of America? Let me tell you, you're going to be lost. If you go by the doctrines of any other person in this world, you're going to be lost. There's only one doctrine that you must believe in, that someday you can walk on the streets of glory, and that's the doctrine of the Word of God. Amen. Not only was Jesus a legal heir, through Joseph, but also a spiritual heir to the throne of David through Mary. A throne without end as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me proclaim to you today, the God that you serve is a God of details. Look at the details that goes through that genealogy. When we read that of David, it was 14 generations to this person, 14 generations to this person, and 14 generations to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think that's interesting by itself, numerically, David's name is 14. God is there in the good times in your life, and God is there in the bad times of your life. And all the in-between times, because He is a God of details. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It echoes the words in Deuteronomy and also in Joshua, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Saints, God's unwavering presence is in your life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what should my stance be? What should my stance be? Well, I'm going to show you a picture of it in Habakkuk. Turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, or Habakkuk. I said it wrong for years, but I said a lot of words wrong for years. And I'll go on saying words. And I'll go on making my own words up. That's just me. Remember, I'm the dizzy dean of all preachers. Chapter 3, verse 17 of Habakkuk. Now listen to these words. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off and the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. So what is our position? No matter what I'm going through in life and I'm going through when I'm going through difficult things in life, this is my position. It is one of praise and it is one of faith. No matter what. Each and every one of you, this is an appointed place that you have been called to. This is not by accident that you've been called to Crossroads Gospel Church. It is not an accident that you heard this message today. There's many of you today because God is a God of details through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak this message into your heart, and He wants you to be able to proclaim, no matter what, God, I'm not turning back. No matter what takes place, I'm not turning around. I've gone this long and this far for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will live a life of praise, and I will live a life of faith for my Lord and Savior. Amen. Done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. That's it. I'm not backing up and I'm not backing down. I'm going forward in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you make up your mind that you're going to do that no matter what you're going through, you know what that does to the adversary? It makes him back off. He's not going to get anywhere here. You might as well leave me alone, and you might as well go on down the road, and you might as well bother somebody that doesn't know Jesus, because you're in the wrong place today, because I'm going to walk for Jesus no matter what. Amen. Amen. We as Christians today need to make up our mind that that's what we're going to do, and that's how I'm going to live my life. Because if you don't, if you're like me, and I've been there, saints, you can get the molly grubs about what you're going through, and you're never going to get better until you say, Lord, no matter what, no more complaining. I'm going on in my life for you. The complaint that you have at the Lord today, and it may be a loud complaint, it's a dead-end road because the Lord won't turn and the Lord don't change. We need to change our life and bring it in line with the Lord. The quicker we do that, the quicker we'll get through the adversity that we're facing today. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word. Wow, Lord, the word was powerful today. The word was powerful today not because of me, but the word was powerful because of you. And I thank you for that today, and I pray that as only you can, that you would touch every heart and every life. And people may get tired of me hearing it, but I'm going to ask it again. If there's one person that does not know Jesus, has not made up their mind that they want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you throughout the service today, I just want you to get up out of your chair and come forward right now. I want you to get up out of your chair and come forward now. Would there be anybody today that would do that? I won't tarry and I won't labor this, but I need to ask, is there one? Father, we today are celebrating the birth of our Savior, and He most certainly is the reason for the season. May we always keep that uppermost in our mind and in our heart. That's why we're here today. The Christmas is a service regarding Christ. And we are going to come out Wednesday night, and Father, we're going to praise you and worship you and give honor and tribute to you, because each and every one of us here believes today that you are Jesus, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, and I know you as my Lord and Savior. Be with us this week. Bless everybody with their Christmas this week. And may your hand be upon their life if they have to travel. And Father, may you bring us all back together as quickly as possible. We today give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.